literally an institution in this town of digging up old photos, old stories, collections, everything you can imagine under the sun about this great city.
Greasy spoons, dives, old clubs.
If you love this city, you're going to love it even more.
Real people, real stories, real places.
This is the Austin Found Podcast. All right, welcome back to Austin Found. It's good to have you. We appreciate you tuning in. I'm JB Hager.
I'm Michael Barnes.
All of us have been to Salt Lake if you've been in Austin for any amount of time, and it still, to this day, is one of my favorite things to take guests to.
It has real atmosphere.
Yeah, it's just got this unbelievable charm. And maybe, you know, before we jump into the history of it, maybe we should just paint a picture of what it's like. You're out in Driftwood.
Which is a beautiful green valley along the Onion Creek, and it's a little bit rugged.
Yeah, and it, you know, now it's a bit populated on your way out there, but, you know, as I was growing up, it was an adventure to go out there.
It was out in the country.
Yeah, you would hit these rolling hills mm-hmm. on the car, just sort of undulating your way out there.
Tulane.
And then you get out there and you're like, here yeah. it is. And one of the most unique things about it is you bring your own cooler.
Right.
Regardless of size. You pack your adult beverages if you choose. And it turns into like kind of a family picnic. You don't worry about how long you're going to wait for a table.
Right.
Which was rare for Austin at that time. Right. You didn't mind waiting at all because it would just be the kids would run around.
Right.
Play in the dirt and sticks and stuff like that. And you'd pop a cold one, and you just wait. And then it's also served family style.
Right.
And so you would just leave there doubled over.
And a beautiful, beautiful round stone pit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that you'd have to genuflect to because it was the source of everything. And there was a lot of seating. There still is. We're not talking about something in the dark past. Mm-hmm. And there's a great event center right on the creek that is beautiful. I've been to many parties there. A center up on the hill, Thurman's Mansion.
It expanded to more of a wedding venue type thing. Exactly. I've been to a couple of weddings there.
And they're surrounded by vineyards. And now there's more good, very good restaurants along that highway. And it's kind of a gateway to that part of the wine country. There are quite a few wineries in the little back roads going up into the hills.
Yeah, it really does sort of connect dots from that part of town going towards Fredericksburg.
Or to Wimberley.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's something if you haven't done, you have to do it.
It is a must do. It is absolutely a must do. And whether it's a 5-year-old or a 95-year-old, they're going to enjoy the experience.
Right.
What I didn't know, thanks to you, Michael Barnes, is how far back this goes with the Roberts family.
Oh, yeah. The Roberts family, 5 generations of them, have been involved in that valley. And Scott Roberts, who has been the face of the Salt Lake for decades now since his father Thurman died, and his mother, Hisako, died recently or relatively recently.
2018
at age
104.
That's right.
Wow.
She was Hawaiian of Japanese descent, and Thurman met her during World War II when he was a CB, and Scott is their son.
Do you recall how they ended up here in that space, that part of Driftwood? I mean,
they had come from the deep south, and they landed at Indianola, as a lot of people did.
And this was when there was a big migration out of the deep south,
right.
Correct?
And the Indianola was a port north of Corpus Christi that's no longer there because in the 19th century it was wiped out by 2 hurricanes, and they didn't rebuild. But you would go in through Indianola, and then you just go as far as you could go and find some land that was available. And this was a grant that had been given to Ben Milam, who was an early Texan. And this valley was a little hard to get to, and so it was still pretty untouched when his family arrived.
I know, I always think about that sometimes if I'm on that side of town and and you're driving by something that's undeveloped and you see how thick the brush is, right?
Right.
And I go, how did people get through this
exactly
back in the day? It's mind blowing.
There was a cane curtain that went for hundreds of miles through coastal Texas that nobody could get through for a long time. It was just, it was too thick. But the his ancestors got through, and they, the matriarch, who was called Mammy, was somebody who knew exactly how to cook for everybody. And then that was his great-grandmother. And then his grandmother was Roxy, and he definitely learned a lot from her, too. But it was Thurman and Isako who founded the barbecue joint. And the story about how Thurman decided where it was going to be on the side of the road, I mean, he takes out a circle with his boot heel.
Just like spinning it backwards is what I'm picturing, right? Like, this is where it's going to be.
This is where it's going to be.
I love it.
And it became a huge hit. It's hard work. It's hard work, but the family endured.
Originally, they started barbecuing just to serve that community.
Right.
Just that little, which had to be tiny at that time.
It's still pretty small.
I know, but it's about to change, and we'll get to that. But then also feeding people at Camp Ben McCullough.
Yes. Across the road is an old Confederate reunion grounds, and it's on a beautiful stretch of Onion Creek where there's a swimming hole and places to swing and dive in. And it had been used for many decades as a reunion ground. Now, it isn't anymore, although people who came there as children still go there as a campground. And it's a kind of an eerie place because you don't really know who to expect to be there. Hmm. But it's gorgeous, and I have stopped by there several times just to get out and cool my feet and just be in the beautiful hill country.
Yeah, you think about back in the late 1800s, just a swimming hole was gold, right? It still is, right? But then here's kind of the thing. They were feeding the community, but it actually took a family tragedy to turn this into what it's become.
Yes, right before they founded it, his brother, Scott's brother Butch, died in a construction accident in Austin. And it was part of pulling themselves out of that sadness that the restaurant was born and grew.
As you kind of alluded to, they have since gone on to add a lot to the property. Do you have any idea how big of a property they still retain? But I know you covered this cookbook and this story of nearly a decade ago, and things may have changed. But
oh, I'm sure things have.
Yeah.
And first of all, and I tried to describe this in the story, which came out in 2012 and is in volume 3 of Indelible Austin. Thurman and Scott and everybody in his family are such hard workers and builders that just keep building houses for their family and barns and outstructures, and so they never stop. They're going all the time. So I know that, you know, I haven't been there in about 3 or 4 years. I'm sure there's been a lot added since then.
Yeah, and some of the old original structures, have they been preserved?
Oh yeah, yeah. No, the family homes especially have been preserved, and it feels idyllic. I mean, one of the houses, you can just imagine the turkey hutches that used to go way out into the fields, and in another house, big front porch, and you can imagine Scott as a barefoot boy, you know, learning about his world and cooking. And the cookbook, we should talk about the cookbook. The cookbook, which was written with Jessica Dupuis, is all old-fashioned recipes. That they didn't use mayonnaise in the old days. He didn't use mayonnaise in these recipes.
Well, there is something very distinct about Salt Lake barbecue sauce, and I'm not just saying this because that's the feature, right? But I also grew up, you know, with connections in Kansas City, which mm-hmm. is a different style of barbecue.
Different altogether.
It's different from Franklin's, which is more vinegary. It's different than Rudy's, that is more spicy and runny. Mm-hmm. It's got like a sweet yellow mustardy quality to it that is just amazing.
You missed your calling. You could have been a restaurant critic.
there is. It's my wife's favorite. I always have to keep some Salt Lake barbecue sauce in
because you can get it in the store, right?
Yeah, Bubbles. You can get it just about everywhere because it's iconic. Not mm-hmm. to mention, you can get it at the airport.
Right. Oh, really? Oh, that's right. Yeah. Of course. We should talk someday about the legacy restaurants that only live on at the airport, where their brick and mortar place in town is
right.
I mean, there's five or six of them out.
Well,
there.
And I'll give them a plug for this too, because you can get a whole brisket ordered and shipped at the airport.
I did not know that.
Which would be a great thing to show up to a friend.
I did not know that, but yeah. That is like the ultimate housewarming gift,
right? And then this kind of paint a picture quickly about what's going on. One, you should go do this, especially if you have people visiting Texas. It's just, I mean, Austin, it's just an iconic Austin thing to do. But the wineries are moving in. Mm-hmm. That area is developing, including a Driftwood development that mm-hmm. it's actually called Driftwood, but it's a discovery property. Golf course is going in.
Oh.
I know. I don't mean to laugh. I just heard you go, oh.
You golf. I don't golf.
I don't golf.
Oh, yeah. I thought that you did.
No, I don't golf. I tried. And I gave it up a long 20 years ago.
Well, that's smart. I don't want to see the whole hill country turned into golf courses and things like that. I think golf courses can be beautiful. Mm-hmm. And as a person who likes to hike, I don't mind hiking through a golf course.
Right.
It, to me, is too tame. I mean, that's a really rugged little section of the hill country.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the name of the town comes from the giant cypress trees that are, you know, torn down by these really vicious floods that come through there on the creek. Mm-hmm. And they litter the sides of the creek. I mean, it's almost terrifying to think of what that. And they're deadly floods. And believe me, anybody who's out there, if there's warnings, do not try to cross a low water crossing.
Yeah, you got to take it very
turn around,
seriously.
Don't drown. Yeah. I was out there actually at the winery, staying at the winery across the street from Driftwood, and had an out-of-town friend. And he said, we're going to go all over the place. And I said, no, there's flood warnings. And he said, but I got four-wheel drive. Said, no. We're not doing it.
Don't mess around with that. Well, anyhow, I think it's a cool story. You can read that article in Volume 3 of Indelible Austin. It's a must-do. It's just mm-hmm. a must-do with, especially when guests are visiting. It's just, as it is getting developed, and there's more wine countries out there, but that historically was like, that was our west end of Austin, I think, yeah. Right? But go check that out. And Volume 4, I'm touching it right now. And I'm sure you get just as geeked out the same way when you get to actually physically hold it.
Beautiful blue cover. And it shows an empty Congress Avenue looking up at the Capitol. And the pop of other color that comes out is the Paramount Blade sign and the states. Originally, you know, my editor wanted something that had that new old sign in it, and I found this among Chris Sherman's work and just went, this is the one we gotta have.
Thank you for tuning in to Austin Found.
Happy trails.